He made a one of one for himself. That's Mage. Good afternoon.
Oh, that's cool.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Yes, hello.
Are we retiring that, Scythe?
No. Why?
Because remember, we talked about that the other day. We said it might be the end.
Oh, I don't remember.
You already forgot.
Yeah.
That conversation altogether, but it was just last week.
I don't remember.
Well, hey, what's happening? How are you, Cypher Sounds?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. And I also want to say, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Bevel.
Please do.
And say that this episode is made amazing by our friends at, wait, you know the name of the website, Sy?
Getbevel.com.
Getbevel.com. I got to be honest, your memory is really coming around. So thank you to the folks at Bevel. Make sure when you go over there, you use the code WANEPFREE. And guess what? Then you will get free things. Scythe, we're supposed to have a guest today.
Yeah, he's on his way.
What do you know Bink well.
Pretty well.
What do you, or better than I do, certainly, which is not at all. What do you think on his way means?
He said he was on 8th Avenue.
Wow. Well.
Yeah. I don't know if he means he was on 8th and he continues to drive straight and then 8th becomes what it is up here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Because I'm going to be honest with you, Sy, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, I see no reason not to be. Today was, I'm not exaggerating, the worst traffic day.
Yeah, I noticed. I was in traffic all day. What's up with that?
Do you know how long it took me to get from Hot 97, which mm-hmm. is in Hudson and Houston, to ESPN, which is at 65th and West End?
An hour and a half.
Hour 50.
Okay, wow.
What are your thoughts on that?
That's terrible.
It's really bad, am I right?
This is definitely small talk, though.
Traffic?
Yeah, we're talking about traffic.
Well, but at the same time,
our famous hip-hop podcast, we're talking about traffic.
But at the same time,
we're talking about practice.
But at the same time,
I just made a sports joke.
No, I know.
Come on.
That actually did cross my mind that I should be impressed that you made a sports joke.
I just made a sports joke.
Who are you referencing?
The guy, the kid with the cornrows.
The kid with
Roy
the
Akerson. No.
Roy Orbison? No, not Roy Orbison.
I know his name.
You're
Jadakiss
close.
Is friends with him.
Who is?
Jadakiss.
Jadakiss is friends with him because of Reebok.
Played for the Philadelphia
76ers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't think of his name.
It's tough. You're in a tough spot right now. It's a real tough spot for you.
Isaiah Thomas.
No. Allen.
Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm sure you had interactions with him over the years.
Yeah, he was a...
Don't say it. I've heard that before, though.
Yeah.
That he wasn't the easiest. How was the Toronto?
Oh, Toronto was crazy. Shout out my brother Cardinal Official. Happy birthday.
Yeah, great.
He said he's got to do one ep. Well, I said he has to do one ep.
Well, did you tell him that I said to go fuck himself?
He heard.
And what did he say? What was his response?
He laughed.
He didn't care. It didn't affect him. Literally. No. He didn't say, like, I'm going to make sure I have him up next time.
No, he did not.
Okay.
So, Cardinal Official, starting from scratch, and Dreddy, we murdered the party.
Well, that's
and
good because
good
you guys are a
Dave
new crew.
Chappelle was there.
I
see you're playing Half Baked on your TV screen right here.
Yo, honestly, Sif, can I just be clear?
Yeah.
I don't ask for a lot.
Right.
And generally, when you bring guests to the table, they're only people that you happen to have run into like in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
Like you go back, oh, I met this guy bagging groceries yesterday.
Yeah.
He said he's a big fan of hip hop.
He's a rapper.
And I'm like, okay, cool, that's cool. I'm like, yo, but I just hooked us up with De La Soul. You're like, yeah, I know, but this guy raps and he talks about rap. And so what I'm saying is you could make up for 8 years of shitty booking.
Right.
If you just got Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, I've tried.
But like, what do we have to do to just make it happen?
I don't know.
What if we go to him?
He gives no shits about talking.
But like, we could just have hip hop talk. I don't even need his whole comedy story, really. What if we went to him? To L.A., to Ohio. We could get it in Ohio. We'd have to get it in Ohio.
Is that what is that?
It's a Cameron reference.
Oh.
Yeah. He gets it in Ohio.
I'll ask him, man.
How would you ask? Like, that's the thing I have to think about is how would you ask? Want me to be Chappelle?
No. He says yes. That's the thing. He says yes.
So, but then we have to follow up.
I follow up.
And what do you say in the follow up?
Remember when we talked about this?
And then, but then how do, like, is it, hey, will you come to New York? Or when you're here, will you let me know?
It's radio silence.
It just goes silent then.
Silence.
But if you're like, yo, you want to go to a random party in X city?
Yeah.
Then he's like, I'll be there.
Well, I didn't hit him about that. Him and Cardi became friends.
Oh, him
and,
but through you?
No, through All-Star Weekend.
Through All-Star Weekend.
But I mean, he mentioned me when he met him.
Right. I remember that part. All right, so
Anyway.
Maybe Cardi. Maybe I should start asking Cardi to make it happen.
Yeah.
Maybe that's... Anyone exciting come through the party?
No. Hot, I mean, it was
hot
amazing.
Chicks?
A lot of hot chicks.
Really?
A lot of dancing, a lot of fun. People stayed till like 5 in the morning.
When you said a lot of dancing, a lot of... You know what I thought you were going to say?
No.
A lot of fucking.
No, there was a lot of fucking, I'm sure. Not with me, though.
No. But I mean at the club. I thought you meant like there was fucking at the club.
No, I don't think so. I didn't see any.
Because that would have been lit.
So there was, yeah, it was some cool people.
Now, speaking of which...
Oh, there was a black hockey player, PK.
Oh, PK Subban was there?
Does he play for the Montreal Canadiens?
Yes.
Yeah, he was there.
He's Mage.
Yeah. He's cool. He's friends with Cardi.
Of course he is.
They were joking around on the mic a lot. I didn't get the jokes.
No. Hockey jokes?
It was like, yo, we're glad you're home early this year. And I was like, oh, I don't know what that
means. Because he lost.
I guess he's not in the...
They're not in the playoffs.
The Stanley Cups?
Well, that's not how you say it, but yeah, the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's right. You're close. Now, here's a question, Saeed.
Did you see Drake shout out Cardinal Fish on Saturday
Night?
Did I?
I tweeted it instantly.
How do you feel about that?
I loved it. Why, was he offended?
No, he loved it. But you know me, I come from Funkmaster Flex school.
It has to be a diss in
somewhere. There's a scheme somewhere in there. Might not be a diss, but a scheme.
Well, okay, there is an inherent diss to the joke. If you didn't hear it, it's Black Jeopardy, yeah. And it was probably my favorite thing I've ever seen Drake do. But you have
played like a
Canadian,
like a Torontonian.
So
like,
you have
stereotypical.
You have to know and have spent time with Torontonians.
Very inside, yeah.
It was super inside.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they
I didn't see the whole thing. I just saw that part.
I guess they thought that even if you didn't know anything about it, you could still think it was funny.
It was still funny. Yeah.
Right. But for me, the way he talked, every little slang he used, everything was funny.
Yeah, it was straight.
And so the Jeopardy question is like this successful Canadian rapper, blah, 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 blah,
like,
blah.
Just dropped the album that's fire.
So the setup of it is that it's obviously Drake.
Yeah.
And Drake being Mr. Canada... Says, oh, of course, it's Cardinal Official.
Yeah.
He was nominated for a Juno Award.
Yeah.
So inherently, it's making a joke of like not Drake, someone much smaller.
And not a Grammy, a Juno.
But still, he could have chosen a lot of people to give the love.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
On SNL.
Yeah.
Now, you're with Cardi when it happens, right?
The next day, yeah.
Oh, the
we
party.
Were at the party Saturday night, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. On Saturday night, did he start getting the tweets?
Yeah, somebody he's close to hit him was like, your timeline's about to blow up. And he's like, yeah, we at the party. It's crazy. He's like, no. And sent him the, he just said, Drake shouted you out, I think. And then the next day we had to go do this other event. And people were like, oh, Cardi. Like, it's mad love when you see him in the street.
Always, in general.
Always. Like an OG, you know what I'm saying? And then they were like, oh, Drake shouted you out. Like, a couple girls were saying that stuff. It was like a good vibe.
Yeah, I mean, that's how
We were at, sorry.
No.
We were at this awards show for Canadian music videos called Prism Prize.
Okay.
And Cardi was giving the achievement award to Little X, Director X.
Of course, Mage.
For the Drake, well, for a lot of videos, but his nomination was for the Drake Hotline Bling. But, you know, he did Cardi's first videos and all that kind of stuff. They know each other for a while. But so we were at, like, an event where, like, Drake was coming up and everybody was like, it was like a real cool Torontonian moment.
Yeah, I think it was, I think I would have definitely been pleased. I mean, listen, Cardi no longer, everyone has competitive things in hip hop, right? But Cardi nor anyone else, unless you're Jay-Z or Eminem, is sitting in a space where you're like, I might be bigger than Drake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
It there's not really a point in even thinking about it in a negative way because Drake has become, I mean, he's an icon.
Yeah.
He's an international icon.
Yeah.
What Cardi is like a Canadian / Toronto hip hop icon, right? And legend.
Yeah.
So I would just take it as love. I mean, I didn't get any. Did you get a? Did you get any shout outs? From Drake on SNL?
I didn't.
No, me neither.
Did you get one?
No. I watched the whole episode.
You didn't get one?
Yeah, no. And I was thinking, I was like, well, maybe they'll do like a radio skit and he'll like need me to.
Yeah. No.
Didn't happen. You know what I was bummed out about? You know, The Lonely Island have a movie coming out in a couple weeks?
Pop star,
and they had hit me up about being in it.
Ooh.
Like so long ago, and like, yo, you need to come do it. You need to come be a talking head in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, who's talking about them as like a music expert.
Right.
And then, like, I heard from him, and then it was like, I'll let you know when X, Y, and Z is happening.
Yeah.
And then I was like, the movie's over. It's yeah. coming out.
Yeah. I want to.
Not a diss, but I wish I should have been more aggressive about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I want to get more on top of that kind of stuff.
Like, if someone mentions something like that, I should probably be aggressive about yeah. it. You know, I did something good today.
What'd you do today?
I emailed the guy with regard to WWE, a really high up person who I met recently.
Not Triple H.
That's a good reference, though. And I'd emailed this guy right after WrestleMania, and he didn't write me back. And I was like, oh, that's a bummer, because I met him on Sunday, and he didn't write me back. Of course, I write him like the Tuesday after WrestleMania, which I'm guessing is probably...
when someone writes you after...
like the day after Summer Jam.
After Summer Jam,
like
yeah.
when every you're just downloading life. And
I got an update from Bink.
All right, let's see how this goes.
All right. No disrespect to you, Cypher, ER. I really apologize for my lateness. This traffic is unreal.
So what are you going to do? So here's the question is, what do you do now?
What do we do?
Because I don't know Bink. So if you leave,
don't want him all up in your house.
No, I probably just want to watch the hockey game with Marshall, you know, basketball, some hockey. You're probably just going to maybe crack a brewski, just sit around. I've been out all day. I've been out literally all day. So maybe you and I should just do a podcast. Ari's here, your friend. We both have good friends from our old school lives here, too.
Yeah. Well, we're doing a podcast right now.
No, it's happening. No, it's actually recording as we yeah. speak. So what do you think you should tell him?
I asked him, where are you?
Say, did you say for real? Or do you not know him well enough to be like, no, yo.
No, like, for real.
No big deal. We could reschedule, but we just needed to figure out because you have a hard out. You could say because I have a hard out. No biggie. This is what I would say, and you can handle this yourself. I would say, no biggie, but I have a hard out.
Okay, I just recorded you saying that.
No, but, no, that's
it
you,
said,
though.
No baby, but I have a hard out.
No,
okay,
don't say
I
baby.
Just...
No, don't say baby, though. That's weird. Don't.
So please. Put biggie.
Yeah, no biggie.
No biggie.
Yo, Snoop was in Half Baked. I totally forgot about that.
Jon Stewart was just there.
Yeah, I know. I forgot that Snoop was in this, though.
No biggie, but I have a hard out at 8:30.
Yo, Snoop is so young here. And Jim Brewer, Mets fan and guest on my wife's podcast this week, Jim Brewer. Yo, Syfe, we have some relationship with everyone on the screen right here.
Yeah.
Do you know Brewer? I referenced you to Brewer last time I saw him.
Yeah.
I ran into him. He was like, oh, he's like the chunky Puerto Rican guy. Just kidding. He didn't say that. So we'll figure out what's going to happen. I was in the middle of saying something interesting, though.
Yeah, WWE.
Oh, so here's what I did. Here's what I did. Because I feel like a lot of people, I was told actually people like our, when we talk like in details about our lives.
He wrote fuck in caps with exclamation points.
How about you write, no worries, we'll do it again in a couple weeks.
Well, he doesn't live here.
I'm sorry, where does he live?
In Virginia.
He didn't drive up here for this.
I don't know if he drove up here, but he's here.
But not for this.
For this.
But not to just do the podcast.
I don't know the details. He came up for this.
Do you want to, should we call him?
Oh, he's on 11th Avenue, 65th.
I just did that drive. I just did that exact drive.
Me too.
It took me about 20 minutes from 65th and 11th. What time do you have to leave, Syfe? 8:30 on the dot?
Yeah.
How are you feeling right? Take us through your feelings. You just sighed a little bit.
No, he's like, this. I'm fighting. It's crazy. I said, I know. I was just in that. This podcast is traffic talk. The worst podcast
Yo,
ever.
Yo, hashtag traffic talk. Some real, real serious traffic talk. But what are we going to do? He came up just for this. This is the only night you have. That's why tonight's a weird podcast, because normally we have some flexibility. You're leaving town again tomorrow, right?
Friday I'm leaving town. But tomorrow.
But tomorrow you're a wrap. You're personal lifed up.
Personal.
You're lifed and wifed all day tomorrow.
It's opened up a little now.
But if, here's the problem. This is what we end up. If he gets here, he'll be here. I mean, now listen, we could have him come up. If he gets here 8:15, he could come on for 15 minutes. But does he just want to clear up what was said about him in the Young Guru
podcast? Sure, that's part of it, but we want to know the story, the deal.
I mean, how frustrated are you going to get? I don't even know if I can handle what you're going to be like if we only have him for 15 minutes. You get annoyed when we only have people for an hour.
Well, I'm not frustrated, but you know.
So you're going to worry. Okay, so here's what I did. We keep getting away from this because we're having our traffic talk.
Okay, go ahead.
So I emailed him then, and then today I went, you know what? I need to email that guy again.
Yeah.
I was like, instead of just being like, oh, he didn't write me back and feeling sorry for myself, he was probably busy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hit him with another email.
Another email or reply to the one you already sent?
New email.
Okay.
Because maybe he totally forgot or didn't see it at all.
I was listening to this podcast from this woman who's like an expert on like networking.
I've heard about her. I believe. I've heard a thing about a podcast like that.
So she says, when you go to a networking event, you get someone's card.
Right.
You email them right away.
Yep.
That night or the next day.
Yes.
Probably not going to respond because they're busy. You just were at some big event. But the next time you write them, you reply to that same email. Because the email says, hey, met you at so-and-so. Great seeing you, blah, blah, blah. Right? Or whatever it is. Or, you know, we talked about your kids. Or I hope your thing goes well. Then a month later, when you write the next email, they look up and they go, oh, this person wrote me already. Oh, I met them already. It's not a stranger. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. But I did the same thing, basically. I just pretended it didn't happen and reintroduced.
Well, you're wrong.
But isn't it the same thing?
Not really. No, it's because it's the date.
Well, but I said, oh, you're right. You're meaning that. But at the same time, it could make them feel bad. That's my one risk. I feel you run with that. I guess making people feel like it's good.
It's just some psychological shit.
But it's true. It actually, sometimes that works to your advantage.
Yeah.
You know what's the best thing? For a long time, I thought, here's a gem, kids. Hashtag Jewel Alert.
Oh, sorry. One more thing she says. So something you discussed. So you write the first email.
Yes.
If they don't reply, fine. Something you might have discussed, like you discussed.
You reference it.
Yeah. Or here's, hey, I found this article about baking.
Oh,
so it's not even about anything. It's just, and they're like, who's this? Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks for this. Cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, I have two different situations.
Okay,
there's this one, so I rewrote it, and I was just like, yo, met you through so-and-so at blah, blah, blah. Would love to talk about X, Y, and Z. And he's like, yo, I'm down in Orlando right now. I'll be back Friday. I'll hit you up for us to set something up. That sounds great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, I had another meeting this week with someone at ESPN who's important. And I've actually thought the exact same thing. We had a very specific conversation for about 10 minutes about this specific part of their career that I was very interested in, because, of course, it related to wrestling. I was like, I need to find something good to send him about that conversation.
There you go.
A YouTube video, a article, something that speaks exactly to what we were talking about. Because now, guess what you've done, Saif? You've created a bond. Mm-hmm. There's something to bond over.
Yeah.
There's a connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, also, last week, shout out to my man DJ Trackstar, who's a regular listener.
Trackstar, what up?
He said, great DJ for Run the Jewels. He said he just signed with an agent a few months ago, so he really enjoyed the agent talk last week. Serious, in-depth agent talk. I didn't ask him what agency.
Oh.
But there was agent talk.
Yeah.
So, last night there was an ICM thing. With this really high up dude at ICM who I've gotten to know over the last couple of years. Yeah, no. Honestly, it's shocking that I was there. Shocking. I was the only person. I was me and Zach, who's a music agent, was the only people there because I happen to know this dude individually. Mm. He's a TV dude, so it was all TV people there, and I actually felt relatively uncomfortable and didn't really know what to do because it was like just lots of white people in suits chatting about upfronts and things like that.
I was about to say
it's
the upfront.
Upfront
right?
stuff. Yeah. So I mostly just hang out with my dude Zach Iser and chilled. But you know who was there?
Talk to me.
This actress.
Charlize Theron.
No. Well, Piper Perabo was there. You know her?
No.
She's hot. You know Piper Perabo? No
clue. Who's she?
I know her from, I actually know her from the movie White Boys originally. But she's in a lot of random stuff. But that's not, I didn't talk to her.
Okay.
Who I talked to was, wait for it, Famke Janssen.
Don't know who that is. Who's that?
But I'm going to show her your picture and let's see if you know who she is.
Okay.
Because let me tell you something. I know about you, Saif. You would have wanted to fuck her.
Yeah. Okay.
This chick. Do you know? Do you recognize her?
Yes. Go to another picture. Yeah. Oh, that's the chick. Yeah.
Give me something. Give me something.
She's in Maid.
She is in Maid.
Yeah, and she's in the X-Men.
What is she in Maid again?
She was John Favreau's girlfriend, I think.
Oh, my God. She's Favreau's girlfriend and maid. I could have talked about it the whole night.
But she's Jean Grey in X-Men.
She's Jean Grey.
She's in a lot of movies.
You know what else I remembered her from? Rounders.
Yeah, Rounders, yep.
Do you know how old she is? She looks just like this.
She's got to be like 45 years old.
She's 51.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Sif, I've never seen 51 like this.
No, she's hot.
No, I've never been in a situation where when I figure out
black how old, don't crack.
That's what I said.
She's not even black.
I know. I was mind blown. She's Dutch. You know what they say, though. Dutch don't crack.
Dutch gets fucked. Oh, sorry.
What?
I don't know.
No, I would never have said that.
Dutch Masters, Baiters?
No, and aren't they a sponsor of yours?
No.
No more?
Mm-mm.
So it doesn't matter? No, Dutch don't crack.
Oh, Dutch don't crack.
But I was just like, whew. Let me tell you one thing. She's a tall drink of water.
You talk to her?
I'm sitting next to her.
And what happened?
Finger bang. No, nothing. We talked. We hung out, chatted. She was very interesting. She was with her manager.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you one guess on who her manager manages. Here's a hint. You, at some point in your career, for a period of time,
okay,
worked closely with this artist.
Okay.
This artist has been has done music and acting.
Okay.
That person is?
Music and acting? Mm-hmm. Drake?
I said someone you worked with.
Someone I worked with.
Yes. Not someone who you like sort of dissed for a long time and now don't really see.
Okay. I never dissed Drake.
Not dissed, but ignored his mixtapes. Treated him like shit.
I don't know.
I'm just someone you worked pretty closely with.
Okay. Pretty closely with.
Yeah.
He or she?
He.
Okay. And then what happened?
Then, and now they're kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. I don't know who this is.
Okay. I'll give you another hint. They have at least one solo album that's probably considered a classic.
Oh, okay.
And then another group project that's also definitely considered a classic.
That I worked with. Yeah. Sean Paul, Pharrell, Jay-Z.
But you're not even thinking of people who make sense.
I'm just thinking of people.
Do you know who it is, Ari?
Pusha T. Dave Chappelle.
But that doesn't.
Mos Def.
See, but you knew that was the right one.
No,
you said that differently. You said Mos Def with some emphasis on it.
Well, I was, because I was going through the motions.
Yes, Mos Def. Yasiin Bey. She was like, I represent Yasiin Bey.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, what's going on with Yasiin Bey? And I know he's in Africa and like can't come back or whatever.
Yeah.
She told me that she recently, she's probably, this woman I talked to is probably mid-40s, maybe 50 also, white lady. She was saying she has a new client, an actor, a girl who's like 22 years old who got some tattoo, some 22-year-old tattoo of a flashlight.
Okay.
And she goes, she says to her, she's like, what does your tattoo mean? You know, trying to bond with a new client. And the girl, being totally serious, is like, you wouldn't understand. Like, you're an old bitch.
Yeah.
You're not going to know what I'm talking about.
Nice.
That's not what she said exactly. I don't need that on my screen. See how I just got you to look up at man ass? All over the Chappelle, all over the half-baked screen. So she said, what does it mean? It's a flashlight. She's like, it's this artist and... You would probably wouldn't know Mos Def, and she's like, "You mean like my Umi says to shine a light on the world?" And she says to her, "She's like, yeah." And the manager goes, "I know Umi. I don't just know Mos Def. I know Umi." That's I was great. Like, "Yo, that must have been so amazing."
But what's the flashlight?
Just for the light. My Umi says, "Shine a light on the world." You know tattoos.
Who is this? Fuck that girl. Who's that girl?
What is she thinking?
How can you have an attitude with a cryptic tattoo?
I know. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Just say what it is.
You wouldn't understand. How's your tattoo? Oh,
here's Ben calling.
You want to put him on speakerphone?
Put him on speaker.
We've had this happen
before.
Hello? Yeah, I'm right on the corner.
Around the corner.
95th and West.
No, don't say that. Just you're on live right now.
Wait, so do you have someone driving you in a cab? What's your deal?
No, I'm on foot now.
You're on foot now. All right, good. I'm gonna send my friend downstairs to meet you so you can get you up quick.
All right, cool.
All right. So Sif, what do you think? We got 15 minutes.
Yeah, sounds good.
So how are you feeling? You said recently you were down.
Yeah, I feel great.
You're up again.
Yeah.
Feeling
when was that? When was that? Was that before therapy or after therapy?
It was before the ICM thing. It was a few weeks ago. Like maybe 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, I'm great.
Are you tired from your Toronto trip?
No.
Were you partying in the streets?
No.
Who did you bring with you on this trip?
I went by myself.
Whoa. How often do you like going out by yourself now?
No.
You still would prefer to have a squad?
Yeah.
Well, your team is falling apart. Let's be honest.
My team is disbanded. It's deteriorating.
Yeah, like, let's go player by player on this.
I have no team.
Dominican Drew.
Dominican Drew has been coming out a little bit with me lately. But he works for Apple Music now.
Right.
So, yeah, but a couple things I did, Dominican Drew is actually the one who's been rolling with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Has he just been up for it?
Yeah, because I asked him if he wanted to go. Where did we go? I forget. We had to go take a little drive, and he came with me. Not Atlantic City. I don't remember, but he went with me somewhere.
Okay.
Places.
Now, also speaking of which, do you think there are any Juan Epp heads in the Hamptons?
Yeah.
Who would come out and see us?
Oh, yeah. I meant to shout that out in the beginning.
So, yeah, because
Friday nights, Memorial Day weekends when we start.
Is the kickoff.
In the Southampton at Club AM.
Yeah, AM Southampton.
Yeah.
AM Southampton.
It's going to be.
You think it's going to be a movie?
It's going to be all the way up.
It is. Me, Syph, Fat Joe.
Yeah, I don't like how small I am on this flyer, so talk to your guy.
Yeah. Sure. Well, you're the DJ.
No.
Yeah, you have to own that.
No. What are you talking about? DJ. Equal billing to you, at least.
The DJ doesn't always get the equal billing. I'm only doing five.
No.
I'm specialty.
No, equal billing to you. He got to fix that flyer, bro.
Do you see that?
He did another one where I'm way in the back, peeking out behind you like, hey, I'm here too.
You came on afterwards. He brought you on as DJ. By the way, from me saying, he was like, what do you think of Cypher Sound?
I don't give a fuck. So once you book me, then that equal billing to you. Billing to you.
Why are you thinking of me as lesser than else?
I'm not thinking of you as lesser. I'm saying we should be equal on the flyer. Cypher Sounds and Rosenberg is a thing. Juan Epstein's a thing.
So are you going to bill me when I'm not even there?
I don't have nothing to do with it.
We could say and Rosenberg all small next to you.
But listen, I don't make the flyer.
Well, I don't make the flyer either. Honestly, of course, I don't make
the
flyer.
Yeah, but this is your connect. You just said, I hooked you up. So tell him, hey, fix this.
What an egomaniac.
I'm not an egomaniac. I want no disrespect. I'm not taking disrespect no more. Remember when I got a morning show stolen from me?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I'm not doing disrespect anymore.
Well, I didn't think of it in that sense. I thought about it as like more like special because I was only there a few times. So it's like, look, Rosenberg's here. This is exciting. I'm white. So I'm trying to use the white.
Okay, cool.
See? Is that bad or good? I was just being honest.
I don't care. Whatever it is, it is.
Why are you making me your enemy in this? This is not fair.
But Puerto Rican, Fat Joe's Puerto Rican, he's in a flyer bigger than all of us.
But he's all the way up. He doesn't look Mexican, Syph. Okay, either way, regardless of a flyer, we'll be out there. The first one is the Friday of Memorial Day.
Yeah.
It's going to be late as shit, I'm guessing, right? They probably party very late at night, huh?
They tell me I don't have to be there till 1.
What does that even mean? What am I going to do? Am I going to sleep in the club? They have a bed?
I hope so. All right. Hey, Binks here.
Now, real quick, before we get to our guest, he's walking in like a bear. Hey, Bear. Bear. Give Bear a little pet. Give him a little pet. Bear, come here, bud. You're doing a good job. No, he's okay. He's safe. He's not dangerous. Now, hold on real quick before we get to our guest, Bink. Before we get to Bink real quick, I do want to say this, and it's very important, Syph. I want to give a shout out to our friends at GetBevel.
Okay.
GetBevel.com. Nice. If you head over to GetBevel.com and use the code JuanEppFree, you'll get 1 month of free with a razor. Wouldn't you guess? Oh, I mean, what a clean-shaven guy Bink is.
Yeah. Do you use a Bevel razor, Bink?
Yeah, of course he does. Look at him right now. You can't tell me this man hasn't used a Bevel.
No, yeah, absolutely
GetBevel. Yeah, thank you very much.
Sent to my house ASAP.
Oh, I'm going to make sure that happens. GetBevel.com. Use the code JuanEppFree. And they will hook you up with an awesome, awesome razor to make your shaving experience different and amazing. And not only that, you support the Juanette podcast. Bink, you made it.
The dog got me under pressure right now.
No, don't feel nervous. How pressure filled does this look? He wants a pet.
Yeah, you're
man.
Not on stage.
Give
you don't
him a little
have to
pet,
hold the mic
man.
Like that.
Give him some pet love. So, Bink, how are you, man?
I'm good, brother.
Right. You guys know each other through Jamal? Is that correct?
He actually wanted to get some NPC lessons. Probably 30 years ago, and he was like, yo, Bing, I bought an MP. I need you to show me some shit up here. I was like, cool, Syph.
You know, this is a history podcast. We got to get the actual facts.
Is that not an actual fact, Syph?
No.
You never asked Bing for help?
Well, I mean, I'm sure I've asked him for help. But that's not how we met. You asked how we met.
Oh, okay.
Met Jamal.
Through Jamal.
Absolutely.
And Bank
Jamal used to manage an artist named Mocha.
Okay.
Who's from Virginia.
Oh, it goes back further than that.
Oh.
Talk right into the mic, Bink. Sorry.
It goes back further than that. Actually, Jamal was hanging with the Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Of course.
So I met Jamal when I got with the Lost Boys. So I met.
Oh, I didn't know you were down with the Lost Boys back then.
He's one of the first people I met in my journey here.
Nice.
Wow, really?
Yeah, Jamal was. Absolutely.
And Bink, where in VA are you from?
Norfolk.
From Norfolk?
Right down the street from, what's his name?
Knotts.
Knotts, yeah.
Have you known Knotts forever?
We used to be down together. It was called the Teamster. Daryl Sloan used to manage both of us.
Oh, my gosh, Daryl Sloan, yes. Yeah. Now, those early Knotts records, way back in the day, like indie stuff, were you guys down with each other then?
Crumb Snatcher?
Yeah, Crumb Snatcher.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we was Teamster then.
And I feel like he put out, what's DMP, his thing?
Yeah, that was much later.
That was later. Okay, yeah, I get the indie years mixed up a little bit.
Sorry, we got to speed through this a little. How much Virginia is around? Missy, you know Missy from back then?
That's my sister, yep.
Pharrell.
Definitely know Pharrell.
And Chad.
Chad, we should do beats together. Me and Chad.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Timberland's around.
Yeah, he's around.
Were you mixed up in Teddy Riley at all?
That's how I got on.
Well, Syfe, his first record ever, according to Wikipedia, is Don't Leave Me.
Yes.
Big record by Blackstreet.
Yes.
You did that record.
Absolutely.
That's a big one.
Yeah. And then Tupac, Jackless. Yeah.
Wow.
And dude, I Ain't Mad At You.
You guys were first. That's right.
Don't Absolutely. Was first.
It's ironic that his song was called I Am Mad At You because y'all were probably mad at him.
Right.
That goes way back, man. That was a big, big, big record, Don't Leave Me. So you got into the game with a hit.
Yeah, but I was blessed to get affiliated with Teddy because, you know, everybody was trying to get in that front door of Future
what
Records.
What was it? Teddy was from New York, but then just moved to Virginia to just have more.
Yeah, he came down there probably.
He's not from there. Did he have family there?
He brought his family there.
All right, so he just went down there and all of a sudden grouped up all these talented Virginian.
I mean, you got to understand, Virginia was the shit.
Virginian stuff.
Greek Weekend. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of New York guys used to migrate down to the oceanfront.
Some state.
Including Teddy. You know, Teddy was hanging with, you know, all the, you know, big time jugglers back then. So he came to Virginia. Come on, man.
Just say hi to him. You got to give him some love, man.
I don't trust him.
Trust me. He's the most trustworthy dog you'll ever meet in your life.
I don't trust him.
Bear.
But no, Teddy came down and basically like what he, you know, like the. Of course, it was super cheaper than New York.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. It had the beach. He was like, yo, I can build my whole situation.
College girls. It was a good time. I'm sure Greek Weekend
great
down there.
Time. So, yeah.
Country butts. Them big old
biscuits.
Them big old biscuits.
Mac and cheese.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, he came down there and everybody he worked with, he brought to Virginia. So, that was like very, you know, inspiring to see like him having Michael Jackson in the mall and shit like
that happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he was working with Michael,
absolutely,
he brought Michael to VA.
Absolutely,
that's where his spot was
shut down.
No, but I know, but Michael actually traveled.
Shut Virginia down.
Wow, yes. You remember this?
Like yesterday.
Did you go to the mall? Did you see this or no?
No, you couldn't get. You know, you couldn't get.
It was shut down. It was a wrap.
It was like once you see, we saw Michael Jackson in the airport. It went through the town like wildfire. I said, what? We saw him in Military Circle Mall. Like what? At the mall.
Yo, that's so he was at the regular local mall that people hung out at.
Bobby Brown. He brought Bobby Brown down there. Hanson Brothers were down there.
Wow, so that was his thing, was just bringing people through the mall.
They all came to work at Future Records.
Right, and then, but he'd be like, yo, let's just go to the mall. That would just be an activity to do. Not much, I guess not that much to do if you're not partying and making records.
There you go.
So you might as well hit the mall.
There you go.
And you know, Michael might buy the whole mall up. It's funny, I was in Vegas last week and I was thinking of the stories of Michael walking through, you know, what's it called? Miracle Mile or whatever the hell the big shopping strip in Vegas is. So the first one who really got the look from Teddy that we know about, that everyone knew about, was Pharrell writing on Rump Shaker, right?
Absolutely. Him and he and Chad. Chad actually did the sax solos on the Booty Call album.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That early.
Chad is a trained jazz saxophonist, people don't know.
So how did you guys all know each other? Was it just a small scene? School?
I think Teddy was the common denominator. For, you know, for everybody, because you know everybody who was aspiring to do music. I mean, your whole quest was to try, like I say, try to crack the seal of that door of Future. Like his studio used to be behind.
Future, that's the name.
That's the studio.
Yeah, it was studio. It was located on Virginia Beach Boulevard. It was like behind this veterinarian. Like, you know what I'm saying? So you had to go through this driveway get to the back, but you couldn't get that far because security would greet you at the veterinarian. Like, okay, who you here to see? Uh-huh. So it was like everybody was like, oh, I just want to get in that door, just please.
And did he
put the word out looking for local like talent?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody was, like I said, everybody was trying their hand. Going, hey, listen to mine. That's not it. Right. Okay, cool.
So he was scooping people up, the talented ones, and using them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So you lucked out. You pulled. And what is the Don't Leave Me sample again?
DeBarge.
It's a DeBarge record.
Shout out to Bunny DeBarge. The sister produced that one.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's,
I met a DeBarge child recently. One of the DeBarge children.
Okay.
Really nice kid.
Pretty hair, I'm sure.
Luxurious hair. All right. So now then, how does the process then go for you from that on to getting you all the way into the game?
Well, right when I did the record with Blackstreet, I had already made my move to New York.
Okay.
To live with Mr. Cheeks from Lost Boys.
Oh, I never knew that.
Mr. Cheeks was holding me down. I was living in Queens with like 30 other people in a 3-bedroom house.
Did you do Lost Boy Records?
Yeah, he did. He did a little record called Beast from the East.
Yeah. Oh, you did that? Yeah. Oh, I knew that. Yeah. That's the first thing I ever heard from you. That's Cannabis.
Cannabis all day. The first 50 bar verse.
Yo, he goes in. What was the recording process of Beast from the East?
Of course, Cannabis wrote A+'s part. And we went to...
We just had a huge headline, Saif.
No.
A+ getting bars written by Cannabis?
Yeah.
I'm joking. Okay.
Cannabis used to write a lot of
stuff. I'm sure he did.
And
they were both Universal, etc.
I went to D&D to do Reggie Noble's verse, to get his verse from him, which was dope.
Were you just geeking as a rap fan?
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Because at this point, everything is still new to me. You know what I'm saying? So.
And Red's already kind of a vet. I mean, he's a few albums in. Three albums in. Yeah, he's a vet.
Come on, man.
Like, that's already post Muddy Waters, yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm like, wow, I'm in here with Red Man doing a verse to my record. Like, this is so surreal.
What was Cannabis like? I know he's an interesting dude.
Cannabis was pretty much like a bookworm, as you can tell from listening to his rhyme. So, of course, he became something else later. But when I met him, he was more like a cool nerd. You know what I'm saying?
The original internet rapper.
Yeah, the original. No, the original reading his verse off of his phone.
Oh, really? That too?
Like, he was the first guy I seen like type his whole verse out in the two-way. Remember the two-way was out?
Of course.
He's in the booth with a two-way on the music stand. I'm like, look at this shit. Like, real talk. So he was the first one I seen tap out his whole rhyme in an electronic device and go in the booth with it.
So you ended up doing several records on Love, Peace, and Nappiness.
Yeah. That was great.
Which is the second album.
Yeah.
After Legal Drug Money.
I moved with him when they were doing the first one, Legal Drug Money. And I was like so sick that I couldn't get nothing on that album. Like, I was disgusted.
Oh, because you were already around.
I was around, so that hurt.
Good album.
A good album with some joints on it.
Hurt me. So I wasn't mad because of who I fell short to. You know, Pete Rock and Clark King, all types of people.
Yeah, yeah. A lot
so
of
I was like, you know. But at the same time, I was hurt.
Because it was, and it turned out to be a pretty big album.
Made up for it though.
Yeah, because you did. It's probably the most talked about song for the next album. Got to move up. Got to move along, Saif. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
10.
So yeah, what else did you?
9.
Do?
8.
A+ record, Saif. Corrupt.
All Corrupt.
Girls all pause.
Yeah.
Fan of that, Saif?
Yeah.
Now you're a big Corrupt fan.
I'm remembering these Bink records now.
That was the LA classic, actually.
Really, really big LA record.
That was actually the infamous Crip Walk record.
Really,
absolutely, like that, so, a lot of Crip Walk into that record.
And it's funny, and it comes from some dude from Virginia,
straight from Virginia. But you know what? It's crazy. I always gel with the LA guys better than East Coast.
Why is that?
I mean, just the respect level was different. You know, I mean, I guess anybody would work better with anybody that respects their craft and their time. You know what I'm saying? So it was just more of a, you know. Was no egos really involved when I was dealing with those guys.
Play Around.
Lil C's. That's when I thought I was on my way to get Biggie, and he was murdered not too long after that.
When you started working on that is when you thought.
Yeah, I was like, I'm on my way. Like, I was signed to Stevie J at the time, Stevie J. Stevie J and Jay Brown had a management company at the time called J to J. I was signed to them. And so once I got the record with Lil C's, Steve J called me like 3 a.m, like, yo, they going in on your record right now. We had the Hit Factory. So then when Puff got on, I was like, oh, it's a rap. Like, it's over. Like, once Puff get on, you know it's a single. So
how do you feel, Player? How did it end up doing?
Marginal.
It was marginal, right?
Yeah.
Like I always liked it. I always really liked that record and played it. But yeah, it didn't feel. I felt like it was going to get bigger than it actually did.
Right. But that was
going on at the time.
Though. Yeah, it was a busy space to fit into right there.
Yeah.
But I thought with the combination of Seeds and Kim, that it would have done more. I always really liked that tune. Now this is where we get Syfe to where to some of the stuff that I know you wanted to address, right? Because working with Stevie J, isn't that the Young Guru connection, Syfe Sounds?
No. Mm-mm. Was it? No.
Where did it come together?
Where did it come together?
Wasn't there Stevie J serious? No, there wasn't Stevie J talk. There was
Chuckie
Thompson talk, of course, and fucking
Derek
Mad
Angeletti.
Rapper. Yes,
yeah.
And D-Dot talk.
Right.
So take us on the path on how you end up. So you guys all ended up working with D-Dot? Is that how I understood it?
No. I signed with Stevie J and Jay Brown from Roc Nation.
Ah, okay.
Back
Stevie
then,
J.
Yeah, but I had what you call a key man clause in my contract. So when they fell out, I went with the guy that brought me to the company.
Okay, that's what the key man means?
Yeah, that's what key man
clause Whoever was means. The key man to you.
Who brought me into the situation. That's who you, if they split, that's who you go with.
Okay.
So I was with Jay Brown after that.
Okay.
And then the whole Rockefeller thing started.
And what year are we talking about?
Probably 97. Yeah, about 97, 98, around that time.
Because you're credited, the first credits that
that's a little later than that. Oh, maybe.
Yeah, well, the credits that pop up is on The Truth, Beanie Siegel, Raw and Uncut, and Ride for My.
Absolutely.
And then on The Dynasty.
That's where it starts.
1-900 Hustler, and You, Me, Him, and Her.
Well, the Beans, you understand, Beans was Rockefeller, so that's what cracked the seal
right.
of Rockefeller.
So yeah, but those are album cuts.
Right. These ones.
You, Me, Him, and Her, and I think You, Me, Him, and Her was the
first big
club joint.
East Coast.
Yeah.
What was before that?
Well, we just went up the Corrupt Record.
Oh, girl. Oh, yeah.
So you had the Corrupt Record, but You, Me, Him, and Her becomes a big, big record.
No, Lights, Camera, Action supersedes everything.
Well, Lights, Camera,
that's
Action.
That's later, though.
That's later.
Yeah, but
that's a different level. Oh, man, and you did
so. So you do 1-900 Hustler. And you did
Me, Him, and Her.
Right.
All right, so Syfe, can you remind me what's the discrepancy here is?
Which Flex plays every freestyle, actually.
Yeah, he does. He loves that record.
To this day, he still plays You, Me, Him, and Her.
I didn't mean to start any drama, but I just wanted, because we were talking about
speak on it.
The Young Blueprint Guru. Era, Absolutely. Just Blaze, Kanye West, Young Guru. And I asked him on a previous podcast. You should actually go listen to it, the Young Guru FC podcast. It's amazing.
Absolutely listen to the whole thing.
No, not you. I'm talking to the listeners.
Okay.
And we get like a million new listeners every week, so they should go back. And I said to Young Guru, why didn't he mention your name when discussing the creation of the Dynasty album, Blueprint album, and so on.
Absolutely.
And then you felt there was something misquoted or something you've been feeling.
I mean,
what the fuck is happening, man?
He can't find the charger.
No, it won't fit because of this thing. Don't worry about it. I'll figure it out. It's not going to fit, and I can't
it's
lose that.
Kind of
yeah, we're fine.
But yeah, actually, I mean, I can't understand why Guru would leave my name out anyway, other than, you know, I mean, he actually said he left my name out by accident because him and Just Blaze are friends, which I still don't understand. If somebody asks you to tell a story, just tell the story. You dig?
Well, that's human nature.
Just tell the story. Nobody's asking, like, you know, who your friend is. It's like, you ask him about Blueprint, tell him about Blueprint.
Are you saying that you think that your mark on Blueprint was indelible enough that you couldn't tell the story without talking about you?
Absolutely. It was only 5 producers on the album.
And who were they?
What did you do on Blueprint? Just to remind people.
I did Rulers Back, All I Need, and Mama Loves Me, which is the intro and the outro of the album. Mm-hmm.
Those ones are pretty.
Right.
They're pretty major.
But me, Kanye, and Just, we all did damn near equally the same amount of records.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
4 to 3 records apiece.
And then they're saying that they were trying to get all the producers to sign to their management company, and you didn't sign.
No.
And that's where you felt shit went.
That's when they changed.
Well, you got to say it. I don't want to say it.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, I didn't want to sign with them at the time because, of course, everybody knows Just Blaze was in my bag super heavy at the time. So
He was in your what super heavy?
Just Blaze.
Was in what super heavy?
Was in my bag as far as my style of music, how I was doing
my shit. The same, you guys were in the same vein?
No, he was in my vein.
Got it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, just wanted to, okay, that's so, what you were saying.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So,
I didn't want to sign where somebody was already getting at me. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't feel confident that my shit would be exclusive just between us. So I didn't want them playing my stuff around him because he was already getting at me. So that pretty much was the demise with me with Rockefeller.
So how did
you... after that you didn't sign and that you felt it after that?
Oh, absolutely felt it. I mean, listen, 14 years of not being included in the conversation, the blueprint, is crazy. 14 years.
So what do you think happened there? Like,
I mean, we summed it up, I guess, in so many words. Like I wasn't crew.
Be down with us.
I wasn't crew, so they championed Just with my sound. That's when you start hearing Hov say, "Oh, Just Blaze and the Blazettes." Like I was already giving you that.
Now, have you ever talked to Jay about this?
Never.
Why not?
Why? How come? For what? It's done. It's won't eat the bridge. It's over.
Well, it wouldn't be over if you're here talking about it.
I mean, like I say, I just don't feel like, you know, you should rehash anything if it ain't going to fix it. You know what I'm saying? If it's not going to change anything. You know what I'm saying? What's done is done. What's happened is happened. But at the end of the day,
so why do you say he was in your bag, as you say?
I mean, everybody.
Scipe, journalistic. I like this. Yeah. Right. Really good stuff.
Hello.
I mean, I pride myself on coming to Rockefeller with a certain vibe or feel that wasn't there. You understand? So with that being said, once I started doing that, then it's like, you know, okay, then other people start saying, hey, you know, that's kind of hot. Let me try that, which is corny to me. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, well, we come from an era where we pride ourselves on creativity. So.
But what if you make a couple of records or you have a sound and then somebody at A&R or even Jay-Z is like, yeah, I like this feel. I want more of this.
I get that all the time. And it just comes back down to integrity. To, you know, I'm like, yo, if you want a Timberland beat, go call Timberland. Don't come to me for a Timberland beat.
So they should have called you for those type of beats.
I mean, I would think so. But at the end of the day, if somebody's going to bring it, I mean, there's no loyalty in music.
And well, you learn except for that one Fat Joe album called Loyalty.
Loyalty.
But anyway, go ahead.
Right. But literally, there's no loyalty in the rap game. So
or John Cena's album, Hustle, Loyalty, Respect. I don't think that was the name of his album. But...
John Cena?
Yes, sir.
The wrestler?
Yeah.
Wow.
But here's the thing. Do you have any regrets about how it played out? Like, do you think in retrospect, from a business standpoint, maybe you could have... Because you seem to me, and I don't know you at all, but my guess is that you seem like maybe a prideful guy who wouldn't want to go back and be like, yo, can we find a way to figure this out? Because let's not lie. I mean, that Jay-Z cake, the pie was very big, and there's plenty of slices to go around.
Absolutely. I mean, I knew if I went back, then somebody was going to get hurt. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day. So I just kept my distance, you know what I'm saying, and tried to maintain and get money on the other side of the room. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I couldn't feel comfortable working around somebody that I knew was stealing from me.
You couldn't mention it?
Like, Scipe, hey. Microphone.
Oh, I mean, that was a conversation. Like, I mean, my engineer went behind my back and worked with him. My guitar player went behind my back and worked with him. So it was not like it was a secret.
Now, so how can one, okay, how can one explain what really going in your bag is, like sound-wise? To the naive ear, you wouldn't know what that is.
Prior to 1-900 Hustler, if there wasn't a 1-900 Hustler, there wouldn't be no You Don't Know.
You don't know, okay.
Sound-wise.
Sonically. If it wasn't
the type of sample, the type of music.
How I did 1-900 Hustler wasn't being done.
It's the blueprint, no pun intended.
Right, but that... I mean, like I said, Guru said it himself. At one point in time, you couldn't fight Rockefeller sound was Bink. That came out of his mouth.
Mm. So do you feel that it's important to you at this point? I mean, obviously you went on to do lots of other things.
Absolutely.
Things are what things are. Yeah. Everything worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But you just feel that from a hip-hop standpoint, it's important. And, you know, because what we do on the show is document the history of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just think it's important that it be clear what you've done.
I mean, we in an age now where most producers aren't musicians. So you can't even have a conversation about sonics because they don't fucking know. All they do is listen to the radio and do something like that or do a beat like that. Nobody's sitting at home like, okay, how can I fuck these niggas' heads up? Like, I'm trying to think of this next shit that nobody's on that page no more. It's like as soon as somebody comes out that's innovative, all the kids treat it like the new wave. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's hot, so I'm doing one of those. Mm. That's corny. Imagine if we had that same approach when Wu-Tang came out. That means everybody would have had karate flicks in their music.
Right.
And it would have sounded corny.
Right.
But now it's accepted. You see what I'm saying? That's regular get down now.
No. I mean, I will say this about hip-hop for sure. The time has come where you can just openly say that you bite someone's shit. Like, that's not even a thing anymore.
Right.
And I'm trying to accept that and
blurred lines.
But it's yeah, it's complex. Oh yeah, well.
Blurred lines, man. Like, you know, so I would never get with that as far as, like, you know what I'm saying, somebody's sounding like somebody verbatim and then think I'm gonna praise you for being dope. I can't give it to you because it didn't come from you.
Sive, I can't help but notice that he did a record for Cuckoo Cow.
Which was your artist.
Wait, not did
you and record? Jamal.
Cuckoo Cow. He did Nasty. Freak Nasty.
Oh yeah. Holy shit, I forgot about that.
Come on, Sive.
I look out for my peoples.
Come on, man.
I look out for my peoples,
your
man.
Your story.
And Sive, I know you got a rap. And Sive has to go host a show, but lights, camera, action, my man. Is that the biggest check? But you know, Sive, you know I always ask about the check. Is that the biggest check?
That's actually the smallest check.
Really? Even residuals?
Yeah.
Why?
Because some genius people in their management licensed that record to like four different albums.
What do you mean? Like
Barbershop. It was on Barbershop. It was on the Fat Albert soundtrack. It was on the Noun compilation. And it was on something else. So it was like...
Why is that bad?
Because if you're trying to sell records, you're saturating your market. Where, why buy your album when I can buy this Noun compilation that has my other favorite song on it? You see what I'm saying?
Your percentage is smaller.
Mr. Cheeks album.
Super small. You're not buying. The whole object is to sell Cheeks. I mean, the whole is to sell Cheeks record.
Even for your perspective, you make more money if the Cheeks album sells versus if it gets sold on there.
Absolutely. But at the same time, it's like, why would you license it that many different places if you're trying to...
Hold on.
Recording.
Why is Bear screaming like that?
Look at that face. Look at the face. You see the face?
Hello. Who is that?
Kevin, he's with me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You can set the phone. Thanks. Guys, keep going. I'm right there.
Panda.
So what happened was...
Well, I gotta go.
Who are you hosting that?
The Comedy Cellar. On 3rd and McDougal Street.
In the village.
In the village.
You gotta go back in the jungle.
Yeah. Oh, the traffic is crazy, right?
I gotta leave. It's unreal.
Oh.
Could you take a picture real quick?
Yeah. Marshall, I have a few of them. I can take some more.
With Bink?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Wait, real quick. Sorry. I gotta go. All right. Devil in a New Dress? Devil in a Blue Dress?
Yeah. New Dress, yeah.
The Kanye Ross record?
Yeah.
How did that come to be?
I mean, I went to Hawaii. I actually was hearing about a lot of people being in Hawaii. Like, yo, Bink, I heard Pete Rock is in L.A. And yo, Bink,
Q-tips in Hawaii.
It was like, I keep getting these calls like, yo, son. I'm like, yo, you know what? So I emailed Kanye. I said, yo, I hear you got everybody in Hawaii but that nigga. And he said, who? I said, me,
these nuts.
So I said, me. So he was like, yo, my budget is kind of, you know, already exhausted. I was like, cool. I said, well, hold these joints. I started shooting them joints out. And after he heard the joints, he was like, yo, they about to call you about your travel. In a second.
And that was that?
That was that. And they flew me out to Hawaii. So I flew my wife out with me. We went out to Hawaii. And I was just standing there with my laptop, and I was skimming past that track. I didn't think he was going to bite on that. And he heard it playing on the laptop. And immediately.
So you're cool with Kanye?
Yeah.
But he was around all that drama you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was, he got it, pretty much everybody.
So did he dealt with you differently than a Just Blaze or a Guru?
Who, Kanye?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, man, let's just, you know, let's keep it funky. This game is not about friends. You know what I'm saying? It's staying relevant, you know, and keeping a product that people want. You know what I'm saying? All you're doing is rendering a service. So if you can't render a service, you're pretty much... no good to nobody. So it's not really about being friends with nobody. You know what I'm saying? I know better than to take that personal anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, on that level, it's not about being friends. It's about rendering the service and staying relevant in your game and on top of your craft.
All right, so then how do we, can we squash the drama?
What drama? There's no drama. That's just a fact we just talked about. It's no drama.
Can we clear it up?
What's to clear up? Talk to me.
I mean, he's, well, I guess I have to.
You're doing, sorry.
Go ahead.
You're doing some hood shit right now.
What do you mean?
You got an issue with Just Blaze and Young Guru, and I would like to clear it up.
This is your new thing, Syfe.
I mean,
I really respect it.
Yeah.
Listen, at the end of the day, Cypher, if you broke in my car, right? Of course you don't have a problem. You broke in my shit.
Yeah.
Why would you have a problem?
Right? So that, but
that's not what I'm just saying, why would you have a problem? Of course you're cool. You ready to squash whatever because you're the one who violated. I haven't violated anybody.
I guess I've
been chilling.
So you're saying they should be cool with it?
No, you're saying they should make it cool.
If they want to make it cool, if not, it's cool. Like it's not really nothing.
We don't want to harbor negative energies. That's
it's like I said. It's not. If somebody asked me about Blueprint, I would not hesitate to talk about Guru because he was there.
Wait, what do you mean hesitate to talk about?
I would not hesitate to mention Guru's name for 14 years worth.
Okay.
It's always turned into the Kanye Just Blaze show whenever they talk about the Blueprint. For whatever reason, I'm not here to try to get to the bottom of why he did it. It's done.
What about Just? Has Just ever mentioned you?
Of course not.
No one does.
Of course not. Why would he mention me?
Because you're producing the album?
Yeah, but...
Good answer.
In a perfect
world, I'm a journalist. Son.
Yeah, in a perfect world, that would make sense. But at the same time, it's like for some reason I've gotten this MO from people saying that I'm the mad producer. I'm the bitter guy.
Oh, you're the mad producer.
Yeah, I'm the mad producer. But this is coming from the very people that sound like me. So why would I like you?
Well, you inherently, I tell you the truth. When you're the person who says that someone bites you,
mm-hmm.
whether it's true or not,
mm-hmm.
you inherently become the bitter guy.
Absolutely.
So it could be true, but you know there are people who could believe it's not true. But regardless, you will, even if you're 100% right, that's just the connotation that comes with that.
That's the nature of the game.
And
Beats from the East.
What about that, Sai? It's a good song?
That's the nature of the game. And then I tagged that line with... Beast from the East.
But that's the song that we referenced earlier.
I know. It was a callback.
Wow.
Like the nature of the beast.
Beast from the East.
Beast from the
East. Okay.
I'm going to go now.
All right. Syfe has to go.
Let's get out of here.
Bink, we have to. I'd like to hear. There's more stories from you.
Oh, we got a shitload of stories.
There's more. You did a song for
Part 2.
Yeah, part 2. Because you did a song for Dilla on Pay J.
My diary, yeah.
Did you do that? Were you working with him?
He came to my house, actually, to get that beat.
Dilla came to your house.
Absolutely. With the fur hat and the fur mink to match and all that.
Really? Showed up in VA?
No, in Jersey. You know, I was a Hackensack guy.
Oh, you were already up here in Hackensack.
Yeah.
Syfe, you're leaving?
Yeah.
All right.
Syfe got the crispy new J's on, everybody.
I mean, he always has the crispy new J's.
Just to throw that out there.
Of course he does. Now, listen, Bink, maybe could there be another part 2 where we hear more of these stories?
Oh, absolutely. Just let me know.
And do you feel
I'm mad that this traffic made me come way up here to be cut short.
I know. It took me an hour and 45 minutes to get uptown today. It was just...
No more traffic talk. No, say goodbye.
Thanks
goodbye.
For coming through, bro. Syfe, I love you also. I love everyone. Traffic.